welcome to Intentional Living, continuing our discussion from last week on the power of one thing for your marriage. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen and our Intentional Living team here. We love you guys, and we're looking forward to 2025 being a year of some really powerful life-change stories from people all around the country, maybe you too, when it comes to maybe not marriage, but maybe it's in parenting or just in your own life or decisions you're going to make. Here's what we know. When you make a decision to say, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I choose to do this next thing, the right thing for the next 30 days to bring Him glory and benefit to myself and my family, it'll change your life. That's what this ministry is all about. Life change and seeing people just really finding great joy in their relationship with Him. So today we're focusing on marriage and asking the question, when it comes to your marriage, how can you love your marriage? How are people loving their marriage? What one thing are people doing in their marriage that's making a difference? And I share these stories with you today to encourage you from whatever pain you're going through today. All right, let's get started first. Caitlin is on the line. How are you today, Caitlin?
Good. Got my van full of kids with me.
Ah, all right. Well, tell us one thing for your marriage.
Yeah, I just really try and take advantage of any marriage conferences or dinners or things like that that our church puts on. Despite having a good marriage, I feel like things are going well, but it's still really important to make those investments in your relationship.
And that's made a difference for you?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely times that, you know, an argument or, you know, just anything comes up and I can think, oh, I remember, you know, having a marriage conference that discussed, you know, communication or something like that. Mm-hmm. So investments that we can draw on later.
Well, listen, that's why we do conferences here. And that's why we do this radio show and podcast. We learn from each other. I don't know what it is. We go through school, we expect our kids to learn and get educated and learn about math and science and other things. And then when they graduate from 12th grade, we all kind of turn that off. You think about it, how many books you have to read when you're in school? A lot. And then once you graduate from school, it's like, you know, maybe I'll read one a year. We need to continue to keep learning. And Caitlin's saying, hey, you know, the more I learn, the more I apply, the more it changes my life, changes the relationships. That's really cool. And that's why we do it. All right. If you want to share with us on our comment line, you can do that. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. How about you, Brent? How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a little bit of laryngitis, though, so bear with me a little bit.
I hear you. Yeah, go right ahead.
So my one thing is just being a hands person.
Right.
You know, doing more with more, because my wife's love language is acts of service.
Mm.
And so she really responds well when I stop the thinking and start the doing.
I'm with you, brother. That's exactly what happens in our house, too. So what kinds of things does she like for you to do?
Anything that has to do with fixing up the house or little tasks like cleaning the bathroom and, you know, just doing stuff. Just when she comes home, she just wants to see that there's been some stuff done, because I'm disabled, so I stay home.
Uh-huh. So when she sees that you're involved doing something, that's her love language.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Listen, Donna doesn't want me on the couch too long. She's okay for a while, and then it's like, okay. There's a few little things here we can get done around the house. So I chuckle, but, you know, we talk about love languages, you know, our friend Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages, that book, that's a huge national bestseller, such a really simple concept, but my wife is clearly, you know, acts of service. She's a hands person, as we say here at Intentional Living. And, and I tend to be a little more philosophical, you know. And we joke about that. I have philosophy about garbage and why should we take the garbage out? Why do we have garbage? And she's saying, get the garbage out to the street, right? You know what I'm talking about? But you laugh and you learn and you grow and you accept and you learn the love language. By the way, if you want to read a book together you've never read to encourage your marriage, there it is, Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages. Fantastic. I mean, he's done love language books on teenagers, love language, you know, in the workplace. I don't know if he's done love language for dogs or not, but I, but it's really a great concept. It really does work. All right. Again, you can share your one thing story with us on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Abigail in Arizona, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Terrific. Good. How long have you been married?
I've been married for 10 years this past November.
All right. Share your wisdom. What have you learned?
What I've learned is it's important to be remember who you're accountable to. Mm. Yeah, just remember who you're accountable to. I grew up in a Christian family, and at some point my parents split, and my dad tried to tell me and explain to me, this is what happened. This, you know, and I was like, Daddy, what happened between you and Mama is between you, Mama, and the Lord. It's not my business. So when I think about, as humans, we want to talk to everybody. This is what's going on, and I'm having a hard time with this, whatever, whether it's a big struggle or a little struggle, you know?
Yeah, so keeping it where it belongs with the people, in this case, God and your husband, the ones that can make the biggest difference in influencing the outcome.
Absolutely. I'm accountable to the Lord, and I'm accountable to my husband. And for me to share and spread that all over, if I'm having a rough time or if he's having a rough time, even if it's something small, yeah. you're seeding dissension. Whispering causes dissension. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. You're gossiping about somebody that, no, it's only between you, that other person, and the Lord. And the Lord is what keeps me accountable to that. I have to remember that. I cannot follow what my flesh would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Your flesh naturally wants to take solace in other people.
Oh, absolutely. Call a friend. Oh, you got to hear about my lousy husband, you know? I mean, that's that goes on a lot, doesn't
it? That's not good.
No, it's not helpful.
No, and it's not a proper portrayal of him, of me, of our marriage, or of my relationship with my Savior. So if I'm following the Lord, I shouldn't be doing that.
Right. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Imagine two different people. Both love God and want His will for their lives. But one of them lives a life that's wrapped up in worries, fears, and the challenges of the day, while the other wakes up to an intentional life that's free from those burdens. In Dr. Randy's message, Intentional Living Will Change Your Life, you'll learn 5 steps to living an intentional life in Christ and how your life can be transformed.
We believe that when we understand God's intention for our life, not only is God given the glory for it, but our lives are better for it.
When you support Intentional Living right now with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Start the new year off right by living intentionally. Give now, and you'll get access to these helpful resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, when you do, we got a lot of helpful resources there. Our team have put together. We have blogs and articles, and you have access to the past programs and our podcast all there. And everything is made possible literally because of the financial support, as Kurt pointed out, of you all who stand with this listener-supported ministry to keep us going. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of this journey. Life change. Life change. That's what we need today. Life change. And when we see people coming to Christ, homes being reconciled, marriages being saved, young people, boy, I'm so passionate about a young person who would say, hey, I get this thing about living intentionally and start early, not perfectly. It makes a difference. Change how we think. You know, when I'm around people who just, they have the negativity of their thoughts, and I'm thinking as a believer in Christ that we're intended to take captive every thought of obedience to Christ. Or maybe you're struggling when it comes to your finances and realize the Bible teaches everything belongs to Him. Learn to tithe, to give, and then to save, prepare for the future. I mean, the Bible speaks to all of these things. You do these one things in your life, and you're going to benefit, and God gets the glory. People, you know, when I was a kid, people would say, oh, you know, you Christians, you do all the do's and don'ts. And I'm thinking now that I'm older, yeah, That's really what it is. But it's not out of a sense of anguish. It's a sense of joy. You know, I think about the things that I have done in life that were obedient to Christ over all my lifetime. I don't look back and say, well, I shouldn't have done those things. It's the things where they were not in alignment with Scripture that I did that I regret. And the same thing is true about the things that we don't do. It's the things that I didn't do that I look back and say, well, I should have done that, and other things I shouldn't have done that, see. And so learning that intentional living is not just about a bunch of rules, it's having such a relationship with the Creator of the universe, with Christ, and that'll change how you think and how you respond, and your life's going to be better, and you're going to have less regret. That's why we're here, and we cheerlead you in the process. All right? And by the way, if you want to share your story about what you're learning about living intentionally in your marriage, you can call comment line 888-888-1717.
I want to do one thing that might improve this. I mean, our relationship in general needs to be good because we have kids. And, you know, maybe it will improve us.
If you wake up and have that intentional living attitude of, I want to love this person no matter what, as much as I possibly can, and outlove that person, it will change your marriage.
What I've learned is it's important to remember who you're accountable to.
So my one thing is just being a hands person, you know, doing more with more, because my wife's love language is acts of service.
One of the things that we have been doing while I was working is she would text me a little message during the day, or I would text her, and we'd kind of tag each other back and forth all day.
I found out pretty quickly into our marriage that he wasn't perfect, and I started to change my perspective just by keeping a list of things that I really appreciate about him. And I got to where I couldn't stop adding to the list. There were so many things.
Number one is my husband and I, we've made the commitment of praying every morning together before it goes, but we're learning together over the years to not only pray for our needs, but to pray for the needs of others. And then learning to pray to be better helpmates to each other.
Well, that's really good stuff. Let's keep going here. Andre, you're next. What's your one thing for marriage?
I've learned patience. Whether it be with life situations, with what God wants for my life, and my wife's life, and for each other in our marriage, just having patience for things. You know, we may get caught up at work. We may get caught up doing other stuff, you know, even if it's a date night and someone makes plans and let's just say they get ruined. I've learned to, you know, be patient and just wait when it's the right moment to ask and set a date for us, each other.
Are you a patient guy by nature?
Not at all. I never used to be, but as I grew closer with the Lord, he started giving me more patience and more tenderness, I guess, to my heart.
Mm, good for you. How long have you been married?
I've been married 5 years now.
And what is one thing about your wife that you really appreciate?
She's very caring, very loving. I recently lost a brother, so she gave me time to mourn, even though it's still fairly fresh. It's about to be a year now that he passed, but he died on a motorcycle accident, and just ever since, you know, she's been very patient with me, just, you know, talking to me, asking me, and concerned for me and how I feel, and showing me love and supporting me throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, that makes a difference, doesn't it? We need that in our relationship. I think, Inessa, I think you got something that's kind of interesting to share there in New Mexico that you've learned. What is your one thing?
Well, one thing in my marriage that I try to do, I don't always do it, but I try, is basically instead of nagging my husband about something, I guess you could say I direct that nagging to God in a way. So I just talk to God about it and allow God to be able to talk to my husband instead of me having to do it.
Do you say, God, I need you to nag my husband in my place? Is that the prayer?
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And God knows how to do the nagging so much better than I can.
Yeah, but how does it work when you're praying that and maybe things really aren't changing? How do you deal with it?
Well, I keep on praying, honestly. I mean, of course, you know, we're all human and I do get frustrated with it. But for the most part, I used to then just be like, all right, God, you're not doing anything. So maybe that's my place. Maybe I'm supposed to do something. But now I realize that it just makes it worse. And sometimes I just have to let go and just be like, you know what? I need to be patient, because the moment I lose it, or the moment I get frustrated about it, right after that, right after I've made a complete fool of myself, God's like, all right. I'm going to put things into place. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, all I had to do was wait a few minutes or a few more days. And then it's very embarrassing for me, and I don't want to be embarrassed. So why not wait a little bit longer? And it may seem like you're waiting forever, but ultimately, you know, it's on your spouse as well, I feel like, whether or not they're going to listen to God. And fortunately, you know, God's blessed me with a very intuitive husband that listens to God, even if it sounds like a crazy thing, like let's move from one state to another.
Yeah.
Because God told us, and we did. So anyways, that's a whole other story.
Now, do you tell your husband, hey, honey, I love you, but I want you to know what I'm telling God to nag you about?
I have never. That would be interesting, though. That would be very interesting.
I just want you to know my prayer life. Or leave your prayer journal wide open on the table, like in big, bold letters.
Yeah.
Dear God, please nag my husband about the following two things.
True. That's funny. But, you know, even not having to do that, knowing that God is working when we don't even think that he is, it's like, I don't know. It's such an incredible feeling and such a breath of fresh air, like knowing that I could just take a deep breath and know that, you know what, as long as I leave it in God's hand, because he's the one that's in charge, it's going to be such a better plan than what I, you know, could have come up with.
Before you made that decision to change that, what was your life like? I mean, how did you feel toward your husband, and what went on in your life with things that weren't being done?
I felt very resentful towards him, because I felt like he was purposely, you know, not listening to me or not making me feel better, or whatever the situation may have been. And I realized that it wasn't exactly that he was doing it on purpose. Like, my husband wasn't purposely trying to ignore my feelings or my needs or whatever was going on in that moment. But it was more that I was talking to my husband not the way maybe Christ would be talking to him. So instead of me trying to take that on, I'll just give it to God, and then God can, you know, talk to him in the way Christ would talk. Even though I know in the Bible it says strive to be more, you know, like Christ and all that, but at the same time, it's like I'm only human, and obviously I have to work on things too. So,
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Ines. I appreciate it. Not nagging any longer. You know, if you just turned on the radio, we're just doing one of these shows today where we're saying, hey, this is stuff that's working for people. It's just simply working. And we're all looking for solutions to problems. If you have some issues in your marriage, things aren't working, why are you getting some great ideas today? We're in this community together, and we call it intentional living. All right, let me see. Going to Chad next, I think, in Georgia. What's your one thing, Chad?
Well, I'll tell you, after 20 years of marriage this past December, something that we started after year 7 is try to outlove the other person. You really can't change the other person. You can only draw that circle around yourself and work on everything inside the circle. But if you wake up and have that intentional living attitude of, I want to love this person no matter what, as much as I possibly can, and outlove that person, it will change your marriage drastically. And I can tell you, the last 13 years, we put that to practice, both being the babies of our family and not understanding what compromise is and always getting our way. Once we learn that, it's just totally just revolutionized our wedding. I just got to be honest with you. And I tell that to people all the time. Outlove your spouse. Wow. It's tough sometimes. It's a learning process. You need to put in, you know, like you say, a good 30 days, good month. I think that's good. You know, if you can just commit, the next month I want to outlove my spouse. I promise you that, and obviously keeping God first in your life and praying together, it will change your life. It really will.
We also believe that success is measured by direction, not by wealth. Success is measured by asking the right questions and not always appearing to be right. By doing the next right one thing and not by staying busy. By taking personal responsibility and not blaming others. It's the direction of our life. Every day needs to be filled with one goal, at least one thing. And I put my little wristband on again this morning that says one thing. And as I do, I pause briefly just long enough to think about what one thing today is kind of at the top of the list. What one thing today would help me be most successful in what God has given me in my work or my family? And if every day is filled with at least one thing, it'll be transformational in your life.
Yeah, it will be. That's an excerpt from the teaching that we're featuring this month on how intentional living, and this is a big statement, can change your life. It really can, intentional living. And the fact is, I'd say this even to those today, if you're not a follower of Christ, being intentional is going to make a difference in your life. The problem is it's going to be kind of hollow because you'll say, well, yeah, I'm more successful in my marriage and my money and all these things, but you're going to still be asking the big question, why am I here? And ultimately, the Bible teaches that we're here for a purpose, and it's to bring glory to God and benefit in the process to our family and to other people. And so if you've not given your life to Christ, today would be the day, the most intentional thing you can do to say, God, I'm done with myself. I can't figure this out on myself. So I'm done doing it my way. I give my life to you. Come into my life. Save me for all of eternity. And now get plugged in where you're going to grow in your relationship with Christ into a Bible teaching believing church. We want to be here for you on the radio 24 hours a day through Intentional Living, all of our podcasts. As you start this journey, welcome. That's why we're here. All right, we're talking about marriage and one thing for your marriage. And Debbie, I think you're next there in Texas. What's your one thing?
Something that I've done that's really made a huge difference in my marriage. You know, these women, we have several women's groups at our church, and we get together and women talk about their husbands and what they let them do or not do and how they're helped or not helped. And there were some women talking about how they never let their husbands help make the bed because they didn't do it right. And it occurred to me that their right and their husband's right may not be the same. And I was blessed by the fact that ever since day one, my husband and I getting married, he's helped make the bed. Like, that's something he's done. He doesn't necessarily do it the way I do it, but he does it the way he mm-hmm. likes it. And so when he makes the bed, I don't go back and change it. I don't tell him he's not doing it right. I let him do it his way. And since the beginning, since I've let him do those things and thank him for doing things that way, God showed me that if I let him help me hit the way he helps and don't criticize or don't change what he's doing, then he helps me in all areas. Like mm-hmm. I get help.
That's right.
In every aspect of the home. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so it just really brought to memory that. And I shared that with my ladies when they were talking about, well, my husband, he doesn't put the pillows on the bed the way he's supposed to. And I'm like, what says that there's a particular way they have to go on the bed? How come your way is right and their way is not right? You know, and so as a group
Preach
of
it,
women, we're all working harder. We're all working harder at letting our husbands help their way. And there's less complaining about not getting any help and more time for the fellowship that we have with our relationship.
Oh, Debbie, you hit a nerve. I make the bed. I've been making the bed. And I have a little way of a little military fold on the end of the bed. And the other day, Donna made the bed, and she did it differently. And so we started talking about that little fold. And she likes it her way, and I thought my way. So what do you do, guys? What do you do when you're helping and you realize your wife wants it done just a little in a different way than the way you're doing it? A smart husband will do it her way. And so this morning I did it, but I folded it kind of like halfway between her way and my way. I don't know. Maybe I was trying to make some passive aggressive statement or something. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for that. All right. We're about out of time. Margo, I want to get you on before we wrap up the show today. What's your one thing?
Number one is my husband and I, we've made the commitment of praying every morning together before it goes, but we're learning together over the years to not only pray for our needs, but to pray for the needs of others. Mm. And then learning to pray to be better helpmates to each other. We've been married 44 years, and, you know, we're both coming up with some health issues. So it's like, okay, Lord, show me how I can be a helpmate to cover what's wrong with him. And he prays to be able to cover what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you got to do. And also, I wanted to give a word of encouragement. If you know somebody out there that has gone through adultery and is facing that in their relationship, I've been through that when we were married 12 years. And my husband just felt the need to unload and let me know. Mm. And I had no idea, but we made the commitment then and there. We took a vow forever, for better or for worse. And we said, from now on, it's going to be for better. And we've worked hard, and it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give up. Don't take the easy way out for divorce. But make sure that you're there so it doesn't affect the kids. Don't put the kids in the middle of all of it.
We get a lot of calls on this. There's an affair. Trust is broken, and people don't know what to do, and they're in tears and wonder if they should bail out. Obviously, that's way in the rearview mirror for you guys, but how long did it take you to get through the process of rebuilding trust in your marriage?
I'd say a good 5 years.
Yeah. I think I've always heard that, 3 to 5.
Yeah. I kept throwing it back in his face, and he was strong, and he said, no, the Lord wants me here, and he made a life change right there. He rededicated himself to the Lord, and it took me 5 years before I even came to the Lord, and it's from there. You just start praying together and working together, and it takes a lot of work in a marriage. It's not a simple, you know, pie in the sky type deal. You've got to work at it.
Yeah, you really do. And Margo, you remind me, there are things in marriage that we need to be swift at. Swift in love, swift in listening, right? The Bible even says that. We need to be swift in helping. We need to be swift in protecting each other. But there's some things we need to be slow at. We need to slow it down when it comes to making judgments too quickly, taking positions too quickly, making decisions that may be irreversible too quickly. That'd be an interesting show someday. Things we need to be swift at and slow at, because if you get those reversed, well, it can be very damaging. Hey, we're out of time today. Thank you for joining me. I'm Dr. Randy. Because of the support of our friends all around the country who are part of the Intentional Living Journey, we can do this on the radio and our podcast and our events and all the things. Thank you for standing with us. So for the entire team here, God bless you, and we'll see you next time. This is Intentional Living. It is a part of the ministry of Intentional Life Media.